Today is September 1st, 2020. This is Janine Spurgeon, and I am interviewing Patricia Cummings, a local senior resident of Plainfield, Indiana, who's going to tell us about her experiences during the 2020 COVID-19 pandemic. Hello, Pat.
Hello.
So let's just go ahead and start out with a question. When you first heard about the virus, the COVID-19, what were your thoughts about it?
Well, I really didn't know what to think. I had, at the end of January, I'd gone to Seattle to visit my brother, and I'd not heard about much about the virus, but my United flight to and from there had plenty of extra seats. So when I got home, concerned neighbors said, "Oh my goodness, you went to the beginning of the virus in the States." And I really didn't know what to think till we started hearing it on TV a little bit more, and they started giving numbers.
So what concerned you most when you first heard about it?
I think I got concerned as the time went along. I didn't get really scared, but then I thought, well, okay, I heeded the warnings and totally appreciated Dr. Anthony Fauci, who was head of the National Center for Infectious Diseases, who appeared on TV quite a bit. And I carried wipes, a wipe, if I went, because my grocery store didn't always have wipes. Since then, they've gotten very, very good about this. And since then, I have seen this big machine where one grocery store in Terre Haute will put all their carts through this machine. It disinfects them, and then they put them out for the customers. So that's a very interesting thing I've seen with it. But I did wear a mask when they said to. I think I wore a mask from the beginning. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how scared to be. I didn't get frightened. Mm-hmm. I just used precaution.
Right.
I haven't been scared through the whole thing, even though I am the elderly. My daughter keeps telling me, "Mother, you're the elderly," you know. But I've never been, you know, terribly scared that I won't go out of my house. And I have known 4 people with it who have survived it.
Oh, that's one of the next questions. Was one of the questions
we
asked
you.
No, that's okay. So that's all right. So you did know 4 people, and they've all survived. How were their symptoms?
The first one, I know the wife of the man, and I don't know him well. He had to be home for quite a while, and I'd say he's maybe middle 50s. Mm-hmm. Another person is late 50s. I don't know how these people got it at all and so forth, but the symptoms for her were diarrhea and sleeping. She said, "I just wanted to sleep all the time." Hmm. Well, just recently I've contacted her, and she has said that she's beginning to eat some and not sleep as much. Then the other 2 people were husband and wife. They disbelieved this. They really disbelieved this. They didn't think there was going to be any problem. They really were not afraid at all. I won't say how careful they were. And they went on a fishing trip with other people, and they contacted this, and they weren't down too long. I don't know what they did. I'm not real close to them. I just know them, but they've all survived. And so forth.
Mm-hmm. You know, diarrhea, my mother-in-law had that as well. So it must be, I don't know, that and my niece, 2 of them, people
and
I knew, and that seems
so
to
they
be.
They had the COVID.
Yeah,
and they had
the stomach issues. That nobody I know has had any respiratory problems.
Right. And the thing is, they didn't really mention the stomach problems in
discussing this. How has the COVID-19 affected you and or your family's day-to-day activities?
I will go across the street to visit the children that are over there. There are 3 little children, 6, 4, and 2. And I will just stay at the fence and we'll talk. But the little boy is so affectionate. He has to climb up the fence so I can rub his back a little bit.
Oh.
And I know, he's just a doll baby. But a friend would come, and she would have her mask on and stand in the driveway, and I'd stand on the stoop, and she'd talk, or she might bring something, put it on the chair or whatever. But I thought she was so fearful of, you know, getting it and so forth and so on. But really, she was fearful that I would get it since I am the elderly.
Uh-huh.
But in the meantime, my family, when things eased a little bit, I met my daughter. My daughter lives 125 miles from me, and my son lives 300 miles from me. I have not seen him since December, but we've talked a lot, and so has my daughter. But we did meet halfway and ate lunch when things were beginning to open. And I have gone with friends to have lunch at a couple places, and that seems to have been okay. And I do have a grandson who is a teacher. We'll see how that works with his classes when they start and see what happens. But I think I really feel badly, really, for those who, by themselves, as I am, mm-hmm. and I don't feel badly for myself because I can get out and go, but the people who are really stranded at their house because they have to be, not because of the COVID, and then they family can't visit, mm-hmm. and then also, if they have someone in the hospital, they couldn't visit them, and that was a big concern of mine, hoping that we had nobody in the hospital that was terminally ill, mm-hmm. and that's another thing, because they couldn't even say goodbye to that person. So
yeah,
those are the things that really have concerned me, I think.
Mm-hmm. Everybody seems to think wearing a mask is a huge challenge,
oh.
but what kind of challenges do you think you've faced?
Okay, well, the funny thing is, I'll put the mask in the car, I'll have the wipe in the car, I'll take off my regular glasses, put on my sunglasses. I get to the place, I change from my sunglasses to my regular glasses because I don't like those glasses that change on their own.
Uh-huh.
So in the meantime, I will get out of the car, I've got the mask, I forgot the wipe. I'm halfway in this place, I go back, get the wipe. Or, I mean, and those have been the challenges. It's like, I've got these extra things to do with
yes.
my, you know, before I go into this place. That was a big challenge, I think. And then I decided to have the kitchen painted and a few other places, small places in the house painted. And I had to have it washed down first. So we had to keep moving that date later and later forward so that they could come and wash it down and feel okay about it. And then the painter could come. And then the other challenge was my grandson in Ohio said he'd come take down pictures for me and things like that. And he did. He came and put back things, but my challenge is now I don't want everything put back. So it's just, but it's okay because I can't really get help inside the house very much. But then I decided to fall down two steps because I wasn't looking and thought it was the last step.
Uh-oh.
Injured my foot, and now I have to go see, injured it not badly. I think it's mostly tendons, but nothing is broken. I did find that out. But now I have to go have that looked at to see what's wrong, see what I need to do about it. So the challenge there will be I may have to have my daughter over here for a day just to figure out what I'm going to do. I don't
right,
know.
Yeah.
Like whether I'm going to sleep downstairs, use the stairs or whatever. I'm okay now using the stairs, so I think I'll be okay with that.
Okay, good.
So there's just one thing, you know.
Uh-huh. What did you, your family and friends do for recreation during the lockdown?
Well, not much.
Yeah.
Mine was, I had gotten two books from the library, so I read them. I'm a painter. I'm an artist. I don't usually call myself that, but everybody thinks I am. So I did two pictures, and when my grandson saw one of them, he said, oh, I think that his wife would like a picture like that. So I thought, okay, I'll do another one. And so I've done two pictures, and I've read. I've, you know, cleaned out a closet or two and whatever and started on part of the garage that, since I was a teacher for so many years, I've got some books that I love and I have to figure out what to do with them. So just trying to do something every now and then to keep myself occupied
right.
and missing people in a way. Things just aren't the same, you know.
Right.
I hope it's not the new normal that people talk about.
Right. Well, that was my next question. Since now that you know things have opened up just a little bit, are you able to do anything more for recreation? Are you able to get out more now? Or do you still feel like you're locked down?
No, I don't feel like I'm locked down because a neighbor and I do walking a lot, and that's something we did do. But we, you know, 6 feet apart, we walk. And I really don't get ride a bike or play tennis or whatever anymore because I just don't.
Mm-hmm.
But I do walk, and I did start, you know, because gardens have returned with this, that I have, I had put three plants in containers on the north side of the house, and I grew some things I wanted to grow, so I did do that. Gardens have always been important, of course, but they grew more important during this time.
Mm-hmm.
As I remember them so well during World War II when we had two big gardens. Meeting with friends, I did take lunch to a friend's house, and we sat on her patio, you know, 6 feet apart, mm-hmm. and had lunch from a place in town that was doing carry out. And that was good, just talking. I think talking to people and just trying to get through it. I never had a dull day. I can keep busy. And, you know, being a little concerned about this foot, I thought, they're not going to put me in something I can't get around. And a friend said, oh, no, Pat, you'll overcome that. So I never had a really dull day. I suppose I've had a few days when I thought, will I ever see some of my family again, you know? But I realize I will, and I realize it'll be fine. I'll tell you what, also, Turner Classic Movies and the Hallmark stations on television have kept me entertained.
My mom loves the Hallmark Channel.
And, you know, I don't understand why exactly, why we older people, older women mainly, like that channel. Maybe we're reliving our youth. I don't know.
Well, it's also wholesome, too, you know. There's nothing on that's going to bother you at all.
It is. That's true. Okay, and so then I do have my music that I listen. Oh, I want to say this, that music is on at my house all the time.
Oh, yeah?
It's either my all-classical Portland, Oregon station, my WBGO jazz from Newark, New Jersey, or the 70s and 80s hits from Adelaide, Australia.
Oh.
On all the time.
So how do you think the COVID-19 has affected our community?
Well, one thing, we have done what they've said to do, what the Infectious Disease has said for us to do. I think we've pretty well done it. I don't see too many people that haven't. It seems like to me that it's 1950 at 8 o'clock in the evening here in town, because there aren't very many cars around. If you go down to the main part of town, US 40, there aren't many people in the shops. Usually have closed up at 7 o'clock. Not the grocery stores, but other shops. And it just seems like people are staying home, and they're finding more things to do with family, games, etc. And they're also cooking and maybe gathering the children in to cook also. I do feel for those families that have to entertain the children and find things for them to do. That's kind of difficult. That's difficult. I know it has to be. And the schooling and so forth. But it's changed the community to that part, but I don't know how it's going to be when everything opens up.
I've noticed, too, you know, everything is less crowded, and it's so much more pleasant. And now that you say that it's like 1950, that's an interesting perspective, because I wasn't around then, so yeah.
Right. Oh, 1950. Well, 55, I went through this town from my hometown in Connersville, Indiana. Uh-huh. Came through a US 40 because there was no I-70, and went to Indiana State University in Terre Haute, Indiana. And if you saw, when you were out in the country, away from the towns, if you could count five cars coming or going besides yourself, that was traffic. Quite a few cars. Yeah, it was just so different at the time. And people did stay home. They sat on their porches.
Yeah.
Now, the new homes usually don't have big porches, but some do. Mm-hmm. But they sat on their porches, and at this time of the year, they would be breaking beans, as we did, and canning beans, and canning tomatoes, beets, and making sauerkraut, et cetera, and going to the gardens and harvesting. And that's what kept me busy as a child, mm-hmm. until I was 16 and got a job. But we were busy helping with the garden, and busy helping can, and busy doing those kinds of things. So we kept, the families were busy. And this is just quiet. It's just very, very quiet. It's sort of like when we moved to this town in the 70s, it was quiet then.
Right.
But since then, it's not quiet anymore.
It certainly can't be considered quiet now, no.
I don't know what this is going to do. And when you consider how many people have succumbed to this disease, then you wonder, we probably won't notice that there are 100,000 or plus people gone out of the United States, but it does remind me of that era of the 50s. It really does in some ways.
Have you seen people around you change their opinions, day-to-day activities or relationships in response to the pandemic? I think opinions actually is, you know, everybody's got an opinion about what's going on. Have you seen any kind of major changes in people's opinions as we've gone through the pandemic?
This last weekend, I heard someone say, oh, I think it's political. I think it's political. So when the presidential election is over, it will vanish.
Right, yeah.
I've heard that. I can't imagine something that's come up to affect so many people vanishing just like that after the election. But everything is political in one way or the other. I've seen that. Plus, I've got to watch between the virus and the presidential election, because I've got, you know, a couple of people in the area flying flags for the president, and then others saying, well, I'm glad, I just can't see it because it's behind all the trees. And then, okay, and then the person who's flying a flag for the president said she would not wear a mask, so I'm figuring her husband wouldn't either. Well, then when the when Governor Holcomb said, we're all wearing masks, I've seen her since then, she said, yes, she wears a mask up to her nose. Then other opinions on this. I feel like the young people, and I have my grandchildren who are between the ages of 24 and 34, some are very compliant. They're all compliant, but some are, a couple are kind of fearful of this, so much so that I'm supposed to go over for a celebration at the end of the month in Ohio, and I will have to wear a mask because my one granddaughter is, I think she's fearful for the elderly. That's what my daughter tells me. Mm-hmm. So I've seen that happen. And then, though, we see people going to parties, beaches, and parties at colleges right now, and they're not fearful. They're not doing what they should be doing. So those are opinions. When they won't wear the mask, that's an opinion. Yeah. And two of the people who did get the COVID, whom I know, they didn't believe that there was anything to it, that it was all political, that it wasn't anything to it. I don't know how people could think that when people were actually dying. Although I've also heard from a nurse practitioner friend of mine that she had read, and she thought this was interesting, that sometimes they would say this is a COVID death when maybe it wasn't. So they're going to go back and really check through that. I just heard that recently. That's all. I've heard some people say, well, and it was a teacher friend of mine, I'm kind of a C+. She said, I wear my mask when I need to, and I did go talk to her yesterday on her stoop, and we were 6 feet apart, but we didn't wear masks. So, and I hadn't talked to her for a long, long time, and she had nobody around her that had the COVID. So even some people are giving it a number. I'm C+ on this stuff, you know.
Okay.
I'm a little bit more than C+, because I do not go into a place without a mask on. And one thing I've always done, even before the COVID, when I gas my car, I always get one of those wipes that they have there and use that to touch the gas handle. Okay. I've always done that. Maybe we'll have a cleaner society, and I'm really telling you that most every place I've been, it's never been so clean. But one place that the companies and the stores and the places and even our famous rec center has never learned to clean, even though I talked to them twice, is the back of the stall doors in restrooms. Back of the doors are so crummy sometimes. They open the door and clean what's there, then they shut the door.
Wow.
Or the door shuts itself. But they never go in, shut the door, and clean the back of the door. But I think we'll have a much cleaner site. And at least they'll know how to wash their hands.
You're so right, though. You know, it is, everything is cleaner. And like I said before, less crowded. It's almost like everything's improved.
I know. But you know, once they let us out of our cages, it's got to be back like it was. It's got to be back like it was.
I know. I guess so. Yeah. Unless people decide to stay home.
Right. That's true. And maybe this will get some of the younger people than I am, give them a different way to be with family. And right, with the children, you know, to take more time with their children. You know, and a lot of people do, but some people let the children go on their way. Maybe this will change a few things. And this is left to be seen, though, isn't it? We don't know what it's going to do exactly.
Right. I've had heard that, you know, people are getting closer to family. They're digging in and rediscovering the stability of their family life.
Right. And maybe when we're able to gather together, there'll be more reunions. Maybe there'll be some more things like that and so forth.
What would have been your primary sources of news? How do you get your news?
The television at 6 o'clock, that and the national news that comes on after that. It's not CNN. It's not Fox. We no longer have a paper in our community that comes. Our paper comes like once a month.
The Hendricks County Icon.
Icon, that's right. Yeah. And it really doesn't have a lot of national news in it. So we don't get that, and I don't take the Indianapolis paper, which I can see papers kind of winding down, which I'm sorry to say, I did like them very much. I do. Mm-hmm. That's my basic bit of news. I don't get on Facebook. I don't do that. I don't get on the computer to find my news. I visited a person who has HLN all the time. Mm-hmm. That's news and it's not news.
Right.
But one thing I cannot abide is listening to the same news over and over again.
Right.
Now, I did start a little tally about when they started giving the numbers for Indiana. Mm-hmm. And for this county that we live in, the Hendricks, and then my home county and another county. And then after so long a time when they weren't giving it, I just stopped and threw it away. Yeah. I thought, I can save this for posterity, you know, 2020. But I threw it away, and I thought, nah, I'm not going to do this because I wasn't keeping up well.
Do you think that there are important issues that the media is covering or is not covering?
You know, I've been told, now during this time, I'm told that the media is really not good at covering all this stuff. I mean, I've had people tell me, oh, they're so biased. Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like what I watch, the two that I watch, seem to be okay. I think they're covering things they need to cover. Well, one thing I wish all the policemen in the United States would watch the news, mm-hmm. and maybe some of this stuff would not happen. I just don't understand this. And speaking of that, that's the reason we moved to this town. My husband was, asked five people to move in to the academy out here to teach. So the police all over the state and the people who worked with law enforcement all over the state would go through their schooling there.
Uh-huh.
And I can't right now tell you what each one of these people taught, but we were brought in here because my husband was teaching the psychology of human behavior and teaching what he did. And I know this guy has gotten off of this a little bit, but I know since we're into this rioting because of police behavior, mm-hmm. he would say that, you know, I don't think they want to hear what I've got to say. They're all anxious to get a gun in their hand. But I'm sure that there were a lot that did listen. It seems like what I listen to, they're reporting what they need to report.
Do you know what the network that is that you listen to? NBC, CBS, anything in particular?
Do you know which affiliate is Channel 13?
That's NBC, I believe.
Yeah, that's the one basically I listen to.
Okay.
I don't mind. I can listen to the others, but this just happened to be the one I've been listening to a lot.
Right. How do you think, talking about police, how have municipal leaders and government officials in our community responded? Do you think they've been responding well?
Oh, I think so, because, you know, Indiana's governor, Eric Holcomb, has been on TV in the afternoon, or had been. Mm-hmm. I don't know that he is now because we're in a certain phase uh-huh. now. But early on, when we were in phase one and two and three, he and a group of his constituents that were our head of departments mm-hmm. in Indiana were on with him, and especially Dr. Box, I think it was, who's head of the health department. They were all so informative and so well-versed on what they knew mm-hmm. and would take questions from the media that were there. They took so many questions. They were on for a good hour, I think. Uh-huh. They were quite informative. Indiana, you know, was closed and then gradually opened in stages. But I think that our state officials have really done well with what they've reported and what they've done.
One thing that I think is interesting is that Indiana, pretty much one of the first states that opened up. But we haven't had the really bad surge that a lot of other states have had. Do you have any thoughts about that? Would you have any idea why that would be?
You know, the only thing I can think of is that we're in the Midwest, pretty well down-to-earth people. We don't have many beaches.
Uh-huh.
We do have a few in the north part. But the Midwest kind of had it together.
Yeah.
Or kept it together.
It's somehow we've escaped the worst of it.
Right. And I do know that when you talk about that, we don't have as many people as New York City. We're not as congested as they are, and as parts of LA and some of the southern places that have the beaches and and mm-hmm. all that, and the warmth, and maybe not social distance. I'm sure the Florida thing, the reason it got so encumbered with this is that with the beaches and the people going there, I don't really know if that's true or not, but right. they do have a lot of older people living there, too. And we don't mind being told that, to go in the house at 9 o'clock. You know, okay, well, that's fine. We can, or 8 o'clock, we can do that. It's okay with us. We don't have to be out partying all the time.
Interestingly, though, there was a lot of pushback on the masks. You know, this is a Republican conservative area, so they didn't want to wear yeah. masks, but we still are not doing too badly.
That's true. That's true. And I think it's very unfortunate, you know, although we don't like wearing the mask, especially, I think it's a bit unfortunate that our president didn't really push that, if that's where they're getting this from, it must be.
Yeah, I think so.
And unfortunate that he let Dr. Fauci in there talking, and then all of a sudden he didn't really want him around.
Mm-hmm,
so
yeah.
I don't know, because you know that a person who's been with infectious diseases as long as he has certainly has learned a lot. But I just think that about the Midwest. And next, up the hill from me, there's a big White House, and the last two owners have been from L.A. And so the people are coming here. Of course, they came here for work. Work was here, and they need, and not that there isn't work out there, I don't mean that, but
right.
people do move into the Midwest, and I don't know whether they like the lifestyle. They may move right out again. I don't know. But and it's somewhat similar to possibly the Northeast, Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont. But I just feel that way about us.
Do you have any more topics you'd like to touch on?
I just want to say this, that the dictionaries will get fatter because of all those new words, index patient, you know, the first known case, and zero, patient zero, and contact tracing, and community
uh-huh.
spread, and super spreader, and social distancing, and self-quarantining. So that's something, you know, I just thought about that, and I think that I do have something that we do in, or I do here, that I haven't had a chance, but continuing this tradition with my neighborhood, I make an apple pie,
mm-hmm.
I'll bake the pie, cut one piece out for me, and give the remainder to a neighbor. So I haven't made that COVID pie yet.
But
as soon as I get a chance to, I will do that.
Well, that sounds nice. I wish I was your neighbor. I love apple pie.
Yeah. Oh, I tell you, this neighbor, and they're from California. They just, one neighbor just loves it. So, and also, the sayings that we will get through this is one of the sayings,
mm-hmm.
and nothing lasts forever, and this will pass, and mm-hmm. Kind of things like that that will be put in the history books, I'm sure.
Knowing what you know now, what do you think that individuals, communities, or, or governments need to keep in mind for the future?
Well, I really think that places of business and places, restaurants and so forth, should try to stay as clean as they're having to be now.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a good thing.
Yeah.
Government, I really can't say. I don't know if China could have kept this within their country before it spread. It's difficult to do that
yeah.
because of people traveling. This corona is a type of a virus that they were working on a vaccine before this came about. But and there are many other types of viruses. So I don't know how, I'm sure they're working all the time on different virus vaccines,
mm-hmm.
but they really had to step up their plan on this one. so I really don't know what to say to them that I haven't already said, but I think that our Indiana government has tried to do as much as they can with this.
Okay, well, I think we've come to the end, and I just want to thank you so much for your participation, and we'll be in touch.